96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy, and guess what? It has been an eventful week, but this is not a current event show. We are talking to persons beyond the rock, Bahamians that are doing things either beyond the rock or that are beyond this rock, and also talking a little bit about the things that concern you, right? And so this particular topic tonight, this has been a long-awaited topic. This is something that, you know, you often hear touched on by persons in the community, by other Bahamians, and it's something that concerns us, right? And I had to address it because here's the thing. When you are speaking on the radio, you have a responsibility. I truly believe that. And so if there is information that I can access that is going to help to shed light on a topic, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to find the best person that can do that. So if you're tuned in and you want to go ahead and join the conversation tonight, some of you would have already sent in your questions. Thank you so much for that. You are really on the ball. The text line, 242-422-4796, 242-422-4796. So that's if, you know, you're listening, you have a question or a query for our guest tonight. Yeah, this is going to be the spot where you're going to get those answered. I'm not sure if we're going to do calls. We're going to try, but we have a lot of material to get through. And if you want to kind of shortcut that process, it's best to send in your questions now, because tonight we are talking about, we're having a trade conversation tonight, right? We're going to be talking about that for export only. Whenever you see that sticker, whenever you see that packaging, what exactly does that mean, right? And how does that affect us? How does that affect the quality of goods that we get? How does that affect our health? Like, what are the parameters around this? And I know the questions that I got already, actually, you know, we're going to try to get to almost all of them tonight. And so if you have new ones, go ahead and text me, 242-422-4796. I'm going to bring on my guest in just a moment. He is no stranger to Beyond the Rock. And he actually was the very first episode. And a lot of people have been asking to have him come back ever since. So tonight is that night. But before we get into that, and before I bring him on and introduce him, Facebook today, right? I don't know if you are an avid Facebook user, but everyone got logged out today. And it was very panicked, right? Because the first thing a lot of people thought was, you know, did we get hacked? Instagram went down and WhatsApp started glitching as well. So today was very exciting. I'm exhausted because that took all of my energy. Unfortunately, I needed to use Facebook that very moment for a client. And yeah, it just did not happen. When, you know, we were literally moments away from going live and it went down. So obviously Mark Zuckerberg is letting us know he's still in control. I'm not mad at you, Mr. Zuckerberg. You do what you need to do to maintain control. But, you know, for goodness sake, could you have a server to back up the server to back up the server? We would really appreciate that. So I see your messages coming in. Let's do the roll call. I know you love to do that. Let me know where you're listening in from and go ahead and text that to me, 242-422-4796. And so if you're a Bahamian around the globe, let me know where you're listening in from. And even if you're a Bahamian here locally, let me know which area you're listening from, because it always helps to get some context. And, you know, we always have like ones that surprise every week, right? So please go ahead and send that to me. I would love to read it. So let me read two of them so far. So this one says, and I do believe this is the same person. So it says, hi, Dazzy, listening in all the way from Coral Harbor. Well, that's pretty far, right? The Guardian is a good distance away from that. Here's another one. And this one says, I'm listening from the domestic terminal in LPIA. Well, safe travels to you. And thank you so much for tuning in. Here's another one. Tuned in from Manhattan. Thank you so much. Manhattan is lovely. If you can just hold your nose and look past, you know, the homeless situation. Here's another text. So this one says, hi, Dazzy, listening in from London. Thank you so much. Here's another one. So this one texted was incomplete. If you could please resend this, I'm not sure. It just kind of trails off. So maybe you prematurely sent that message. So go ahead and text us back. Again, the text line is 242-422-4796. I see one or two of your questions already. We are going to get to them in just a second. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest, Mr. Kemi Jones. Kemi, are you with us?
Hi, Dazzy.
Hey.
I will say good morning from my end.
Oh, my goodness.
Good afternoon from yours.
So, you know, I must ask, right? What time is it over there?
So it's 12:36
a.m. Oh, my goodness.
So it's already tomorrow my time.
It is. So this is a time travel conversation, basically. I'm in yesteryear and you're in the future. I love it. This is good stuff. So, Kemi, if you can just bring the Bahamian people up to speed. To those that do not know who you are or did not listen to the first show, can you just kind of let everyone know what your role is and where you are?
Yeah, so I am Kemi Jones, a quote-unquote young Bahamian.
You are young. Please stop the quote-unquote.
Thank you.
Fountain of youth happening there. Right. Please.
So I work for Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and I'm currently attached to the permanent mission in Geneva here as a trade attaché. So what that means is I deal with a lot of the multilateral engagement for the Bahamas here in Geneva. So organizations such as the International Telecom Union, World Trade Organization, and other UN bodies related to trade, I represent the Bahamas in those fora.
Right. So you're basically the one that represents a lot of our interests and also helps to coordinate a lot of what happens on the ground.
Well, yes, when it comes to multilateral space, yes, I do.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. So just very, very quickly, I know we did this in the first show, but for anyone that's not listening, could you give me like a quick brief outline of what your educational path was to get to this spot? And the reason why this is important to do is because you have one of the most inspirational paths that I've heard in a very long time that demonstrates commitment. Okay, Kemi, you don't do that by just getting by. You know what I mean? That's actual commitment. So could you give us kind of like a little roadmap of where you started and how you got to where you are now?
Well, and thank you for asking that, because I know I didn't do a disservice to it last time. So
yes.
Funny enough, I am from Eight Mile Rock, Grand Bahama. So, you know, for those who know, rocks are shots. So educated in public school. And from right. there, came to school to COB at the time. And I actually started off as a biochemistry major. For whatever reason, I thought I would be a good doctor until the real world hit me and I realized that's not my calling. and I went off to school in Minnesota, full scholarship. And there I studied economics. Loved it. For the first time in my life, I was not getting straight A's. It challenged me and I did a total switch to a new career path. From there, working in financial services, before I went back to school in Beijing, China, of all places. And did my master's in public administration there. The path is not very linear. It's been very diverse. But fortunately, one thing I am proud to say is so far in my life and in my educational path, I have never had to pay for education.
Hold on. Stop right there. You've never had to pay for education.
No, and I say that not to boast, because that actually touches on a point that I actually got a lot of messages on after the last show.
Yes.
I've never had to pay for education, and I think as a people, as humans, I don't think we should pay for education. There are ample scholarship opportunities out there. There are many ways that persons can finance their education. I don't think you should have to pay for your education. And when I say that, if you allow me for a second, the reason why I say that, I'm going to do a bit of shameless plugging right now.
No, go ahead, because I'd like us to segue into this actually before we touch the main topic. So please go ahead.
Sure, certainly. So at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where I currently work now, I mean, there are myriad opportunities for scholarships for Bahamians to go abroad. If you want to see, you know, the East, there are opportunities in China, Korea, Japan. If you want a warmer climate, South Africa, Morocco, Ghana, even if you want to stay in the West, Brazil, we are inundated with opportunities for Bahamians to study abroad. And I will send you the link after this show for persons who are interested, but information is available on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs website, as well as Ministry of Foreign Affairs LinkedIn page, Twitter pages. I know my current Director General of Foreign Affairs right now, Jerusa Ali, she's big on scholarship opportunities because she herself studied abroad in Japan and in Europe via scholarships. And me, myself, I'm a benefactor of this.
Absolutely.
So I mean, there are myriad opportunities out there. There's no reason why Bahamians in this day and age need to pay for education.
So as long as they are capable, they have the desire, basically the opportunities are there. We have no excuse.
None at all. You know, one of the most interesting things I recall, I remember before I left to go to school in Beijing, sitting there, we had a reception at the Chinese embassy for all of the scholars who were going abroad that year. And that year, there were about 12 persons who were leaving. And the Chinese ambassador, she said, you know, she's curious to understand why so few Bahamians are applying. She was saying that, you know, there's 12 of us, that's a decent amount, but the quota that's allotted to the Bahamas is so much larger. And Bahamians don't take advantage of it. And I'm sure our persons are always going to say, well, you know, we don't hear about it, et cetera, et cetera. So now let's cut that out. There's no excuse now. I'm telling you where you can go to get that information, to apply and take advantage of the opportunities.
Right. Because, and here's the thing, and I want you to list where our listeners can go one more time, just so they can find it. Because like you said, a lot of times that is used as an excuse, not as an excuse, but it is used. Well, I didn't know about it. I didn't hear about it. And so, you know, it's up to us to kind of strip that away. So where do they go? If they're listening right now, where can they just pull out their phone and what can they type in to go ahead and find these opportunities?
Well, the best place to go would just be to Ministry of Foreign Affairs' website, mofa.gov.bs.
Okay.
And once you go to that page, you can find the section that deals with international scholarships. And there's tons of information there. Or if necessary, you can find us on LinkedIn. Or you can find myself on LinkedIn.
Yes.
It's just my name, Kemi Jones. There's tons of information out there. You know, I recall a friend of mine that I went to high school with, when I caught up with her a few years ago, she was saying that, you know, her daughter graduated from school and she was struggling, trying to make ends meet, trying to find a path for her daughter to get off because her daughter was talented.
Yes.
And the funny thing about it, I said to her, you know, well, why didn't you call me? You know, the other avenue is to link yourself with persons who have taken advantage of some of these scholarships before, who can guide you down that path. Leveraging other Bahamians like we're doing on this show abroad who have succeeded. So there are multiple paths, but I encourage persons. Ministry of Foreign Affairs' website is the first stop.
Yeah, so see, and a lot about how you tell the story, because I will tell you, Kemi, when persons are listening to you, right, and you say, you know, you started off in 8 Mile Rock, I don't think everyone, especially Nasuvians, right, we have no concept of what that means, right? And so if you could just kind of give like a brief description of what that means, because I want people to understand that it is possible, right? And where you start does not mean where you end up in terms of opportunities, because you're talking about not even being here in the capital, you know what I'm saying? So you would have had, your journey is one step further, right? And so that's why these stories are so important, because I want people to really understand what that means to be from 8 Mile Rock. So you're already on a family or family island, the second city, right?
Go ahead.
I want to be politically correct because I don't want Grand Bahama to be in my inbox tonight, because I will tell you, Kemi, people, they listen to the show and they respond and they comment, okay? So I don't want to deal with all of the angriness, the Freeport crowd tonight, Grand Bahamians. But what I'm trying to say is that you created your own path. This was not given to you, you know, on a silver spoon. So when you talk about this, you live it and you've walked the walk, right? So that's the point I really want to drive home, because a lot of persons, they will listen, they will hear you on the show, they will hear your credentials, because this happened on the first show. And it says, well, you know, not everybody has the opportunities he had. And I'm like, did you even listen to what he said about the trajectory? Did you hear the show? No, this is not something that was given. This is something that he had to cultivate, that he had to go ahead and take, right? So I always want to reiterate that, because that's a very important point. And if you're listening tonight, and if you've just graduated high school, or if you have a daughter or a son that has graduated recently and their path is unclear, but they're talented, you know, they've got good grades, they've got, you know, a reasonable amount of drive, and they want to make things happen and they need opportunities, please, for goodness sake, go ahead and visit the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, visit the website, visit, you know, the Facebook page, the LinkedIn, go ahead and seek out some opportunities. Google what it is that you need to do, because these are the transitional points that make the difference in terms of the trajectory of where your life is going to lead. Because I will tell you, Cammie, based on, you know, your origin, you know, if someone had come to you as a little boy and say, you know, listen, Cammie, in however much years, you're going to be in Switzerland on air talking about, that might have seemed, I don't want to say out of reach, but you may have thought like, well, you know, how is that going to happen? So if you can do it, you know, I think it's definitely an inspiration to those listening that they can go ahead and take advantage of opportunities. Because again, this is not something that was handed to you. You had to actually go out and get it. And I think that that makes a difference in life, not the cards that we're dealt, but what we do with that, right? So that is a big deal for me. And even with myself, I remember when I first moved to the Bahamas, I went into the third grade, right? And I remember just being completely overwhelmed by Nassau and, you know, the landscape of what it was. It was just so densely populated, you know, it was so loud. It was a lot going on. And so, you know, when you come out of your comfort zone into a new environment, there's a lot of adjustment. And so even you being in Switzerland, there's a lot of adjustment. Some persons may have turned down that post and said, hey, no, that's not for me. I'd prefer to do something here. So, you know, I really appreciate you hopping on at, you know, 9 o'clock in Switzerland and taking time out to have these conversations. So let me just read a text very quickly before we get into the main topic. I see your text pouring in. Please go ahead and continue to send them forth. It's 242-422-4796, 242-422-4796. So this says, good night. Thank you for bringing Mr. Jones back on. I thought his first episode was, I don't know what this other word is, was I'm thinking it's inspiring, because it looks like it's the autocorrect because it says inspiration. So I'm thinking the first show was inspiring, and I let my daughter listen to it again on YouTube after the replay. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, you can go ahead and always listen to the episodes again, and you can do the replay. You can listen to them. And if it's a point that you didn't catch, or if you had to turn the radio off for some reason, or you want to share the link with someone, please go ahead and do that. If you go on YouTube and you just type in Beyond the Rock, Dazzy Guardian, it pops right up, right? And you just look at the date of whatever show that is that you were interested in, and boom, you have the replay. Super easy. So here's another text. Thank you so much for bringing Cammie back on. I really enjoyed the first show and hearing his trajectory. I really like the story about his dreads snapping off in the cold.
Oh, Lord.
What is that? You are, they're reminiscing on your trauma, Cammie. I hope you hear that. So they really enjoyed that story. Yeah, no, he's letting you know.
Like, a very good point just now. Yeah. That's the one I want to expand on.
Go ahead.
You made a statement about people taking advantage of the opportunity.
Right.
And I go to a quote that I always carry with me throughout my life. You know, it's not really about where you're from. It's about taking advantage of the opportunities that you've been given.
Absolutely.
So in my case, for example, I think education is a lifelong process. You can never learn too much. So since coming here to Switzerland, one thing I've definitely dived into is French. So I've been taking advantage that I'm in a French city and taking French classes, because it doesn't make any sense for me to be living here in a French city and I don't learn the language.
So
that's just ridiculous.
You are putting your
skill in something I can pick up on.
Agreed.
And being in Europe, I mean, I guess it's a little tidbit for my personal life to announce that recently I got accepted to law school.
Oh, congratulations.
So I intend to
keep
furthering myself. You know, it never stops.
Yes.
So, the big thing is to take advantage of all opportunities you're given at the time.
So before we dive into this export, because someone just texted and said, could you please get to the export, please, right? Because this topic right here, Cammie, I will admit, I set you up a little bit. This is such a hot, I don't think you realize how hot of a topic this was when I innocently said, hey, you mind hopping on talking about this? But this is a topic that a lot of persons are concerned about. So let's get right into it. But before that, say something for us in French.
Maybe at the end.
Because it is 12 in the morning. Yeah, I know, right? You like, listen, mom, I'm trying to keep it together for you, and you stretch into bounds. So let's get right into this for export only, right? This is a serious topic that comes up all the time. And so I'm going to start with this particular question that came in, because this is what a lot of us will think when we see the actual sticker or the sign that says for export only. So a question came in, but when I posted the flyer letting people know that the show was coming up, is asking about, is for export only, does that mean the Caribbean is a dumping ground for subpar ingredients? So let's start there. What does for export only mean, and is that one of the implications?
Okay, so let's start let's start from the beginning in terms of framing the background.
Excellent.
So the whole idea of export only is not necessary. It does not imply, nor was it intended to mean, that you're dumping goods. That's not the concept behind it at all. When you think of a city like Freeport, where I'm from,
right,
this is the best way I can walk you through the intent behind the export only concept.
Okay.
When you look at a city like Freeport with the container port, the city of Freeport itself was always designed to become what's called a special economic zone. The idea being that it's a small catchment area where concessions are given to businesses to help the local economy thrive. Those businesses, they're supposed to provide jobs, money for the economy, but those businesses are not supposed to participate in the local economy. So the best way I can describe this is look at Sands, for example.
Okay.
Sands is a local company that makes beers that's located in Grand Bahama.
Right.
In the case of Sands, obviously they get certain financial assistance from government.
Concessions,
as in business
correct.
Was to be located mm-hmm. there. But let's say, for example, Budweiser wanted to set up their factory in Freeport. They're not setting up their factory because they want to sell beer in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
They want to set up their factory in Freeport because Freeport has the container port, which gives them easy access to shipping. And they may want to take advantage of that to ship their beer to Turks and Caicos, to Jamaica, to Trinidad.
So what I'm hearing is then, primarily when we look at for export only, this is more so a framing of trade and economics and profit and concessions first.
It is, but,
okay.
but in terms of the intent, it's profit, but not profit being made necessarily on the backs of the local economy.
Right.
Because in the case I was giving there, if you have stands operating in the local economy, someone like Budweiser setting up in Freeport that's intending to sell their product in Jamaica, they would probably get wide concessions on real property tax. They would probably get concessions on setting up their business licensing and those kind of fees. And Budweiser would have an uncompetitive advantage over Sands.
Absolutely.
So if Budweiser were to sell their beers locally in Freeport, they would be able to sell it much cheaper and put the local company out of business. So the whole idea of export is that even though the Budweiser beer would be manufactured in the Bahamas, it's not intended to be sold in the Bahamas. So on the label, you would see export only. That protects consumers and that protects local businesses because those products should not be sold in that local market. However, when you get to Jamaica, you will mm-hmm. see on the label that the Budweiser beer is produced in the Bahamas export only, meaning it's only being sold outside of the country. So it's nothing to do with the quality of the product. It's more about the economics and the relationship of the business model that's being set up.
Okay, that is a lot to take in. So here's the thing, right? And this is another question that came in. If how you're describing it is to really marinate, one would lead to the next question of saying, okay, does the Bahamas then have a trade policy, right? Because if you are looking at for export only in the context of trade, do we have a policy? Do we even have a policy around that, right? And I'm almost asking this as a rhetorical question, but can you expound on that? What are our standards for that?
Actually, that's a very, very good question. And I benefited when I was in the Ministry of Finance in a previous life to be working with the Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Trade Department there. Yes, there is a national trade policy for the Bahamas. I think it was finalized since 2022. Mm-hmm. And my colleagues at the Trade Commission, as well as the Ministry of Economic Affairs, have been doing a tremendous job of promoting the Bahamas trade policy that speaks about things such as exports, imports, the framework in terms of taxation and all of those things. My colleagues, Barry Griffin and Ian Cargill, they've been doing a wonderful job going on Bahamas Sunrise to actually speak to the Bahamas trade policy.
Correct.
And what it does. Sorry, I'm not trying to promote another show on your show.
No, that's quite fine because I've actually seen those plugs.
The question and truth.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I've actually seen those plugs. So is there anywhere publicly that someone could go ahead and perhaps Google and try to find these policies or any literature around it if they were so interested?
So for that, yes, Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Trade Commission, that information you can get from them. So the information is out there, and they've been doing a tremendous job doing the road shows to promote the Bahamas as an export destination. So, for example, you would have seen during the coronation where the Bahamas set up products in Harrods. So Bahamian products being exported, put
I've
out there
that.
In the international market. And that ties in other agencies such as standards. In terms of what's the quality of product that we're putting out there, ties in agencies such as SBDC that's dealing with capacity building for Bahamians to make sure when they put these products out there in the world, they're at the quality that the average consumer in the international market is demanding.
So this is interesting. I want to touch on, because I have a couple questions that actually came in via text, and I want to touch on those. I do want to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. So if you could please stick and stay. Can we please don't go anywhere? We're going to pick this conversation. Yeah, please do not, right? So I feel so nervous. I'm like, oh my goodness, we have to do it, right? We got to go ahead and do it. So stick and stay. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. I am talking to him tonight, and he's all the way in Switzerland, and we're talking about for export only. We're having a conversation about trade, about the things that you want to know surrounding when you see that label in the food store. That, yes, we are talking about that tonight. So please go ahead and continue to send in your messages, 242-422-4796, 242-422-4796. So please stick and stay. We're going to play a couple commercials, and on the other side, we're going to get deeper into this conversation and maybe ask Kimmy what he's been up to since we spoke to him last, if he has time. All right, please stick and stay.
You can find it all at Builders Mall, from cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles, not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed. Where we make the impossible possible. With our e-commerce is possible. No more brick and mortar, get digital. SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy to process it seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy. And tonight we are having a conversation about trade. We are talking about for export only. When you see that logo, what does that mean? What does that mean? So please go ahead and send in your question. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. Go ahead and send your questions in. We'll try to get through and read as many of them as we can and continue deeper into this conversation. Kemi, are you still awake? Are you still with us?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Still here. Didn't fall asleep.
Okay. That 1 second delay. I felt like when Facebook glitched today, I was like, oh,
just
Lord.
Just have to wash my face a little bit. That's all.
There you go. Thank you. Listen, thank you so much. I just want to say that I really appreciate you sacrificing precious sleep and being up at 9 o'clock in the morning to go ahead and have these conversations with us. I really appreciate it. Trust me when I tell you this is everything, because this is building a nation. You're not just, this is walking the walk right here. So I have a question that came in, and let's dive right into that. So it says, if it is just trade, why is the label so visible? So I'm guessing this question means, why don't they just have like a little line somewhere on the box instead of having like that? Because it's usually a big circle, right? That you see on the, why is the label so visible? I guess that's the question.
But that's the intent of it. Because if using the example I gave,
yes,
if you are sans bear in the Bahamas and you see someone who's getting opportunities and tax breaks greater than you, meaning that they can sell their products at a lower price, wouldn't you want the label to be big for this person so they can't infiltrate the local market and compete with you? Wouldn't you want that? So, I mean, that's more of a branding thing, and that's usually up to the requirements of the local countries and the locals, I guess, in the case of the U.S., the local states, in terms of how that brand is replicated. But if you are the local producer competing with this export company, it's to your benefit of having that label as big as possible, because you don't want that in your local market. You want everyone to know this is a product that should not be sold in my country, even though it's made here.
Correct. I can see the logic definitely behind that, you know, especially from a marketing standpoint. Another question came in, and we'll address this one. So it says, the FDA regulates food supply standards in the USA. How proactive is our government in doing this? Are we just accepting? So before you answer that, Kemi, I will just say, personally, I've done a lot of research about food standards and what is acceptable. And let me put this delicately. I don't think the USA is necessarily the beacon of standards for this, because if you look at a lot of ingredients that are in the UK versions of the same food that is sold in the USA, it is a lot different. There's less additives, there's less preservatives. There's just less of everything. So one can reasonably say that, you know, healthcare in the UK is, you know, socialized, obviously. So the NHS, you know, has the burden and responsibility of taking care of its citizens, even though they pay taxes for it. It's still socialized, you know, in that way. So it would lead to reason that they would be a little more proactive in terms of safeguarding health. And in the US, obviously, that's not the case. You know, healthcare is all private. There is Obamacare, but that is not, you know, the standard of what everyone can access. So they're a little more liberal with the ingredients. So question that came in text, that perspective, but I'll just say in me doing my own research, I've not found, you know, the USA necessarily to be the top standard in food safety. And I say that without trying to, you know, diminish what it is that the FDA does, because obviously it is extremely valuable. But I mean, if you just look at the ingredients, it kind of speaks for itself. And one of the main ones you can look up, and without giving anyone a plug, is look up, you know, mac and cheese. I'm not going to say the brand, but look up the UK version, look up the US version. And so there's, you know, I'm not telling you what to do or what to eat, but, you know, it's relative. It's all relative. Kemi, do you have any thoughts on that question? Let me read it again. So it says the FDA, or maybe a statement, I don't know how it turns into a question, but it says the FDA regulates food supply standards in the USA. How proactive is our government in doing the same, or are we just accepting?
I mean, I think I'll be a little more diplomatic than you were in terms of my response.
You better be.
I'll say this.
You better be.
Firstly, as a Bahamian abroad representing the country,
yes,
seeking to educate myself, I know within the public service, we work very hard to make sure that we educate ourselves and be on the cutting edge. So I would firstly ask the question, why are you assuming that we are not at the same level or the same standard as some of our peers? Because in many cases, you know, we have Bahamians working in these different agencies, whether it's customs or whether it be agriculture, going abroad and doing this training. So don't assume that we're not at the same level. That's the first thing. But in terms of the standards, it's very relative. I give you Mike's example, case in point. Mm-hmm. Me here being in Geneva, Switzerland. Do you know that on the shelves here in Switzerland and generally in Europe, they don't allow GMO products on the shelves?
They do not allow?
No, that was the biggest. For me to live here in Switzerland, I have to go to the grocery store like at least every 3 days. Because the meats that you have on the shelf here, the groceries that you have on the shelf, everything is marked bio, organic.
Much fresher.
They're not in the habit of selling genetically modified items on the shelf. So the quality of meat and the type of meat you get here is very different than what you get in the U.S. So it's not a matter of that is not necessarily healthy. It's just a matter of the preference for that country in many cases in terms of the standards, where they want to go. Now, I've heard that they're going to lighten up the legislation here in Europe to allow GMO products in just because...
No, what are they doing? They're going backwards?
Well, in terms of meeting the demands of the local market, being able to produce enough the quantity that's demanded. So well, as you can see, these things change over time. So
oh, my goodness.
The food is necessarily bad and not fit for eating.
Yes.
It just depends on the preferences. Here, that's a quality of life. I mean, I enjoy going to the grocery store every 2 or 3 days with my little bag, you know, picking up groceries. The fridges here are small. It's a part of my everyday routine. I walk and I exercise.
Oh, so that's wonderful.
It's different. It's just a matter of the preferences of the country. That doesn't imply that the food is bad. But I would say, in terms of the work that my peers are doing throughout government, I think they're doing an excellent job to make sure we stay on top this year, just like in any other country.
Yeah, the standard, and I will say this from the perspective also of, because I speak to a lot of persons constantly who move abroad, right, or who travel consistently. And depending on the region where they are in the world, their perspective on our food changes, right? And so some of it is good, some of it is bad, some of it is kind of like in the middle. So when you enter conversations like this, it's easy to get kind of carried away. But I will say that instead of a lot of times being hysterical about the exterior, sometimes you just look at the ingredients, right? And that will tell you all that you need to know. And then on the flip side, because I had someone text in just now and says, Dazzy, please talk about the flip side also that America has in terms of access. I was going to address that, behave yourself. So yes, they definitely have that. But on the flip side, because that is an open market and they practice capitalism, which I am not against by any means, I don't ever want anyone to think that I'm against it. I think it is a beautiful thing and it helps countries actually be stronger, unlike, you know, countries that are socially capitalist, it can be a little more difficult. But on the other hand, or on the flip side, you can also get, you know, grass-fed beef. You can get, you know, the highest quality organic. It just depends on what your finances dictate, right? And that's all it is. But some of the high-quality items you can get in the U.S., you actually cannot get here. So there's two sides of that. So I'm not, you know, bashing them by any means. There's extreme pros, extreme cons. It just depends on, you know, what side you sit on. I know personally, sometimes when I want to do a certain recipe, I get very disheartened here because sometimes the quantities of certain items are just not available. And that's obviously you have a small population and everyone may not be cooking with a particular thing. Right. And so there's pros and cons. I'm not bashing them by any means. One thing I must say, it's based on choices over there because choices are endless. So you get to decide, you know, what it is that you're going to eat. So let me read this. And oh, it looks like we have a call. Let's take this call very quickly if we can. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good night, Daz. Good night. Yes. Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
You know, I'm always intrigued with these type of conversations.
I know. my mind ran on you.
You know, you're a well-read person also, but you know, there's a book called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1,000 pages. You know, right. I don't know if you've read it, but
I have the book at home.
Early 2000, right?
Yeah, I have the book at home.
And it's not only the Food and Drug Administration. When you think about the amount of carcasses in the cattle industry that they have to inspect, and it shows you, how they use ammonia in the meat, and there's something called transglutaminase,
right?
Which is meat glue. And so I heard the guy spoken about, and that is actually illegal in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually use it to glue the meat And there's something that they put in the meat to make it more red. I don't know if it's some myoglobin or whatever it is, but the standards in Europe are higher. And so when it relates to GMOs, there are different ways to carry out GMOs, genetically modified food. Some are safe, but not all. And so what I learned from reading Kevin Trudeau's book is that this food, the Federal Trade Commission is also complicit also. And as it relates to capitalism, there's nothing wrong with it. But as you find out, I don't know if you saw the recent, the guy who won the case of the chef from McDonald's who put out something out there about the type of meat that was in the meat. So we look at how they was using...
Yeah, let's not go too deep into that.
...from the 1930s. So capitalism has a way of poisoning us, and then we find out later. So because they're allowed to get away with it. So, you know, wittingly or unwittingly, most of us are guinea pigs, dog. That's what I'm saying. So we would need people like you. We would need to police these things. Because, you know, even with the farming industry, they have a stipulation where you can use pesticides, insecticides, thank God, on our side, and then you would clean out the plant. You would go 3 weeks to flush out the plant, et cetera. Even with marijuana growing. So we'd be between a rock and a hard place. I'll finish listening, dog. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. Yeah, no, those are some valid points made. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm big on personal responsibility. And the reason I'm big on that is because you get to decide by your own research and awareness what it is that you want to ingest, what it is that you want to basically kind of where your choices are going to dictate where you're going to go. And so we are not forced anything. And so a lot of times when we, as people talk about, you know, our choices and our lack of choices, on that side, a little bit of research, that's what I found. So, and some, you know, ingenious, you know, kind of MacGyvering and fixing of certain things that you needed to be where it's going to be. And so I don't have an issue about any of it. I think that we have a larger control over our lives than we realize. So I had another question come in. Cammy, let me tell you, these people are working you hard, right? So y'all, listen, you off and they have your brain ticking. Okay. So this question that came in says, I noticed that the package materials and quantity sometimes seem smaller with for export only products. Could this be for profit then?
I mean, it depends on the company's business model. I don't think you can apply that across the board to everyone. It would kind of depend. It depends. It could be a matter of packaging to save space in the containers to for shipping purposes. I mean, there are many reasons why they may do that. You may want to use a lighter packaging material versus something you're selling in your local market, because that's possible. One company can be producing products that are sold locally as well as producing the same product for export. If it's being sold locally, then I can just take it down the street to the grocery store. Then, you know, maybe I'd want to invest in fancy packaging, because in the example of the beer, Sands has to compete with Collect. They have to compete with Pirate Republic. So you may want to invest more in the fancy branding to compete with your local beers. Whereas if you're shipping it abroad, out of country, you may want to put it in a thinner bottle, smaller bottle, to save on costing. So it really depends on the business model of the company, but there are various factors in terms of why someone would do that. And in many cases, it doesn't go back to this whole concept or this idea, oh, the product is inferior.
Correct. Yeah. So I want to touch on that whole product is inferior, because I know from, if you look at like clothes, right, or fashion, a lot of times that is a criticism. But we have to remember that in every company here locally, you have the buyers as well. So quality of sometimes goods that get here is the profitability, is the actual market desire. Does the market desire $200 pants, right? Or do they desire, you know, $50 pants? So a lot of those choices are made based on the buyers in the company and what is actually selling and what is profitable. Because at the end of the day, that is what a business is. It is not there to be, you know, altruistic. It's, those things are great, but is there designed to make money? So whatever is going to sell. So we as consumers sometimes have a lot of responsibility, and we can actually influence what comes into the country based on our choices. Like, for example, and I'm just going to give them a free plug, but I remember one time ago you would go into Super Value and you wouldn't find a lot of like, what is the name of it? I think it's Red Mill products. You would only see like a tiny selection. And this would have been like about maybe 12 years ago. Now, because of consumer request and demand and how we're purchasing, you can get your flaxseed, you can get, you know, gluten-free flour, you can get so many raw products, you know, that are there. And that is because of us, the consumer, because we're purchasing it. And because, and I can tell how consumer purchasing is driving it based on the location of the food store and the what is being found in the food store, because they're not all equal, even in the same chain. So you can tell which demographic is purchasing what and what it is that is flying off the shelf. And that's obviously what they're going to stock. So us as consumers, we have a big responsibility to go ahead and also shape what is brought into the country based on our purchasing habits. So I just want to kind of put that in there as well. So here is another question. Well, this one is a comment. So this one says, thank you so much. Very informative show. Really enjoying it. I am one of the persons that sent in the question saying if the Caribbean is a dumping ground. And the only reason I made this context is because even with cars for export only sometimes means salvage titles. So, okay. I used to be in the car industry. Let me just address that very briefly.
Really?
Again, yes, me.
You want to love selling cars? Really?
Absolutely. I loved it, right? Wow. It was like one of my favorite things. And so even when I did the work a couple years ago with Easy Car Sales, it was like, you know, it was very reminiscent of doing it years ago because, you know, I love cars. So I always loved being in that industry. So here's the thing. Again, consumer demand, consumer choices are going to dictate what is brought in and what is sold. Also, there's other adjacent companies that have a responsibility. So, for example, if you bring in a salvage title car, you may not be able to get full comprehensive coverage and insurance on this vehicle. Why? Because a lot of times the safety is compromised. A lot of times, you know, the liability of what the company is going to bear by offering this insurance that's comprehensive is going to bear. So if you know that if you buy a salvage car with a salvage title and you cannot get a certain kind of insurance, are you still going to invest your money in that? I remember, Kemi, this was years ago when salvage title cars were like really popular. This was at the height of it. And I will never forget this accident. There it is. But if you used to work with me back then, in fact, I saw two of my former coworkers today and we were just having this conversation, but the car got into an accident and it was obviously welded almost in the middle of the frame.
Oh, wow.
And Kemi, the car, when it upon impact, it split in two. And where the airbags were supposed to be was just newspapers shoved into the spot and sealed. Right. So again, it's our choices. Are you going to go for the flashy back then? Because back then it was like, you know, everybody was like, it was rims and that was the thing. So the choice was, did they go ahead and get a more conservative, you know, car that was quality with a clean title, looking at safety and reliability? Or did they go for the flash, right? Did they go for something newer, more flashy with, you know, rims and the title may have been a bit sketchy? So again, it's our choices. You know, it's just what we decide to do. That's really all it is. Nobody can force anything on you.
So, you know, on that same thing, it's different. And I'm listening very carefully to the way that the text phrased that question.
Yes.
And it's asking if the Caribbean is a dumping ground. Now, I would say no. And here's my reasoning behind that. If you're saying that the Caribbean is a dumping ground, and they're using the example of these cars, you're telling me that Company A in the U.S. is intentionally targeting the Bahamas, intentionally targeting the Caribbean and saying, hey, I have a bunch of these cars that I can't use, and they're trying to pour them into our market. From what I've seen, I don't think that's the way.
They don't even think about us, Kemi.
Way around.
They don't even think about us. I can tell you that.
No, I think it's the other way around. We are the ones requesting items from them. So they're not trying to dump onto us. We are demanding their quote-unquote, you know, not good products. So I don't think you can call them, say that they're dumping on us.
Right.
Because in the same case, I remember, you know, hurricanes in Grand Bahama, like Dorian, et cetera, such as that. If your car got damaged, persons would go online and look for someone in the U.S. that had a vehicle that's probably damaged and, oh, I can salvage parts of that to fix my car up. So in many cases, it's the other way around. Opportunities and capitalism sadly prevails. If I have my car and you're willing to buy it, why wouldn't I sell it to you?
Yeah, but so, your verbiage is throwing me because you're saying demanding and seeking out, but it's the truth, right? We are forcing it on ourselves.
They didn't come looking for you. You went looking for them.
Yeah, they didn't call us up and say, hey, you know, we have these cars and we want to send them to you. Right. Right. We showed up at the auction, right?
Well, but I mean, but to be honest, I mean, over time, I mean, the thing about it is for the, in the case of the Bahamas, and I remember, you know, like you said, back in the early 2000s, that happened a lot. People bringing in these cars that were damaged and stripped down different hurricanes hit our neighbors. You know,
flood
people,
damage.
You know, bringing these cars in because they thought it was a good opportunity. But that was something uncommon at the time.
Yes.
And what happened? The local legislation had to adapt to catch up to stop that from happening.
Absolutely.
So I think we do a pretty decent job of adapting our legislation for those circumstances as the world moves on.
Absolutely.
But there's no way we could have predicted back in 1990 that we needed to put the legislation in place.
Right.
Because no one was bringing in these salvage cars at the time.
Correct. So we have a, I think it's a 10-year. And then there's also different duty rates based on, you know, if you had like a fully electric or you go hybrid or you bring in a gasoline car. So there's still different duty rates that the government have there to actually encourage us to make better choices. So if we bypass what the government is encouraging, the government is encouraging you to say, hey, can you make a better choice here? So if we say, no, we do not want that. We want what we want. I mean, at the end of the day, you kind of get what you get. So I just want to go very quickly to another brief commercial break before we get back. Mm-hmm. On the other side, I have one more question that came in, Kemi, related to the trade. I don't know if any more are coming in. If you do, let's see if we could sneak a few more in. 242-422-4796. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Please stick and stay. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and I'm talking to Kemi Jones tonight, all the way in Switzerland, and he's speaking on behalf of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We're talking about trade. So please stick and stay. We will be right back.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. To succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible. No more brick and mortar, get digital. SAG is right here for you. US, Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy, the process is seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. So if you're starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house, FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and with PCL Imports? They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pfeiffer Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We are back. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host. And tonight we are having a conversation about trade. We're talking about for export only. What does that mean? How we participate as Bahamians in encouraging for export only. How are purchasing decisions, you know, directed? And what for export only actually means? Is it more trade? Is it, you know, as a texter characterized, and I hate hearing it. Is it because that other countries see it as a dumping ground? You know, what is it? And how are our behaviors really increasing this demand? So, Kemi, I just want to say before we go ahead and wrap up the show, because it never seems to be enough time. that I really appreciate you taking your time out to have conversations with us. I know you're not in your official capacity by any means, right? So we really appreciate your donation of time to have these conversations, because, you know, it's very well received, and it's conversations that we really need to get to the bottom of. So I really appreciate you.
Well, no problem at all, Desi. It's for labor of love, and it's part of my patriotic duty to give back and to share the information that I'm learning out here in the international market, you know, with my country. So,
yeah, no, it's a part of being. And I just want to say very quickly that next week we are going to be having a conversation, and I'm going to say this now so that he will show up for sure, because he's a very busy man. But we're going to be having conversations talking about, if you are on this rock, but you need to get money from beyond the rock onto the rock, and you're having difficulty with that, and you're struggling trying to put LLCs together, and you're matching, trying to match PayPal with Payoneer, with Stripe, and it's not working, and they're deleting your account, and they're freezing your money, and wire transfers are not working, et cetera, et cetera. We are going to have that conversation next week, and this is an important conversation. The conversation actually started about 5 years ago when I had Trendwatch. I think it was about 5 years ago. And so I extended the invitation to the gentleman to come back again, and he graciously accepted. So I'm putting it out there so that he will go ahead and cancel whatever else he's doing and talk with us. So let me get to another question. Before that, let me get to this comment. So it says, good night, everyone. Listening from Spain. What part of Spain are you in? You have to be a lot more specific than that. Where are you tuned in from? Which part of Spain?
Ask them for details. I might want to come and visit.
Right. We next said they're in Madrid. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well, Bahamians, we're everywhere, right? Here's another one. So listening all the way from Vienna. Okay. That is
again. I want to come and visit. Come
right. Listen, hit Cami up, please. Y'all gotta do a. Y'all ain't leaving me behind. I come to visit us also. And I bring in my children behind me, so we all got to go, right? So this is excellent. So here's another question. It says, so is it possible as a Bahamian to set up a for export only business that's advantageous to me as a Bahamian in another jurisdiction?
So I guess they're asking if they can set up a business somewhere else in the world that's exporting back to the Bahamas,
I read it. So it sounds so just from rereading it again. I guess they're saying that the same way how for export only happens in another country, if they can do the same to export back here, it is possible. Now, would you want to? Do we have enough market share to make that profitable? I don't know. Those are questions you would have to find out. But it's definitely is asking for. Oh, so here's somebody asking for you to repeat for the scholarships, Cami. So it says, good night. Can you please repeat again? How do I go ahead and find about the scholarships and opportunities? I just graduated last year. Okay.
Well, I just sent you the link, Dazzy, that you
did?
Share,
okay, hold on. Let me pull that up. Okay, so I see the link here. So it's, this is quite a long link. What I'm going to do is please go ahead and follow me on Facebook. It's Odaz Lightborn Benaby, and I will go ahead and post the link. And then also go to Beyond the Rock on Facebook, the page itself, and I will go ahead and post the link, because this link takes you directly to the international scholarships. Cami, thank you so much for this. This is amazing. So I see two more questions, but we are out of time. Cami, I don't know if I could beg, probably like in another month or so. I know you have to rest and recuperate, but I'm gonna need you to come back, please.
If you message me the questions, I can try and get an answer back to your texters as well.
Okay. Okay.
You don't need to wait a whole month.
Right. I will go ahead and do that. We really appreciate it. Very quick. We have 30 seconds left. What else have you been up to? Have you enjoyed anything kind of out of the way? Like, what's going on?
You know, one that I had was I went to a professional basketball game here in Switzerland the other day.
Yes.
It was so interesting. I don't know if you're a big soccer fan, but...
Not huge. but not too much.
Okay, well, when you see soccer happening, usually you would see when the players come on the field, they come out, you know, with the little kids, one of the little kids' hands. It was so interesting. At the professional basketball game here, they did the same thing. Professional basketball players coming out, you know, holding the little kids' hands. And I just looked at it like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah.
It's very, very different. But the more interesting part about it is some of the guys who are playing, you know, professionally here in Europe. Uh-huh. I mean, these guys are like 5'5", like tiny.
Oh, wow.
And they're on the court. And I say that to say, you know, I come, like I said, I come from Eight Mara.
Yes. So we got 10 seconds left. Jones, Buddy 10 Hill, seconds.
You know? Yeah, you know. So, I mean, if you can't make it in the NBA,
hey,
Europe is where you want to be.
Was where you want to be. Listen, Kevin, thank you so much. That is very inspiring, actually. I'm gonna tell someone else. I have a cousin. He needs to know about that. But thank you so much, Kevin Jones. I really appreciated the conversation tonight. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and we had an amazing conversation with Kevin Jones all the way in Switzerland talking about trade and for export only. So to go ahead and hear a replay of this show, please go on YouTube and type in Dazzy Beyond the Rock and the date, and it will go ahead and pop up. It usually takes like 2 days to load. So stick and stay, everyone. Thank you so much for sitting here. And next week, we will have more conversations. Have a good one.